Here's what you need to know.
From the Goldberg Jones Sports Desk, your 620 Rip City Radio headlines. Goldberg Jones, call 1-800-DIVORCE.
All right, 4 o'clock Chad here. The Trailblazers dropped the first of a home back-to-back last night. Timberwolves get the win by 2. They're back at it tonight. Big D, the Dallas Mavericks in town. Tip-off at 7. I've got game day at 4:30. Dwight James to join me at 5. Trade deadline now just 2 weeks away. Several teams showing interest in Robert Covington, including the Jazz, Wolves, Cavaliers, and Bucks. From the NFL, Giants owner John Mara has given a vote of confidence to Daniel Jones and says the team will not be in the market for Deshaun Watson. Gronk says he would retire right now if he were forced to make a decision. Championship Sunday, going to be awesome. Bengals at Chiefs at noon, CBS. Kansas City favored by 7. 49ers at the Rams, 3:30 on Fox. LA sits as a 3.5-point favorite. And in a nod to the Bills Mafia, Chief fans have raised $178,000 for a children's hospital in Buffalo. The Rip City Drive continues with Chad Doing. Oregon State pitching coach Rich Dorman going to join me next.
The home of the OSAA is 620 Rip City Radio. The Rip City Drive with Travis and Chad, presented by Lazy Boy. What's your strategy for comfort?
All right, game day coming up at 4:30. Dwight James at 5. I want to get his take on the Hall of Fame vote. Our next guest was the first player ever drafted out of the NAIA school, Western Baptist, which is now known as Corbin. He spent 10 years in the minor leagues and was hired to be the Beavers pitching coach in 2019 after 3 seasons at Grand Canyon University. It's my pleasure to welcome Rich Dorman to the Rip City Drive. Hey, Coach, good afternoon. Thanks for coming on.
Chad, thanks for having me.
Well, I want to ask you about this. You had an opportunity to catch and pitch during your playing career. How much does having an understanding of both ends help you now with the staff that you're working with at Oregon State?
Well, I think any time you get behind the plate and you catch and you got to communicate with pitchers and then eventually you turn into a pitcher, it definitely helps, you know, that communication and development. And so, I definitely understand, have a lot more respect for what those guys do behind the plate. So,
well, you mentioned becoming a pitcher. I want to ask you about this because you went the JC route in college and you had the goal of getting to Oregon State, and it worked because you were recruited by Pat Casey, but your path changed before you arrived on campus due to a collegiate wood bat league. I love the story. Would you share that with me?
Well, yeah. So I was catching, I signed my letter of intent to come to Oregon State to catch, and I was thrown in a wood bat summer league that summer prior to coming to Oregon State. And it's like the ninth inning, and you know, all the college players have jobs in the summer, and so we were light a couple innings, and the head coach goes, hey, we need a guy to throw, and I volunteered because we had an extra catcher. And the next thing you know, I'm walking out, I couldn't even tell you what I did, but how I pitched, but I left walking up to the parking lot in my catcher's gear and my big old bag, and a couple scouts came up to me and were like, hey, you ever pitch before? And I'm like, no. Like, man, you know, and so the rest was kind of history there, and then started pursuing some pitching stuff.
Well, how much of a rush did that give you when those scouts approached you? Because I would imagine after you threw in that game, you weren't thinking about, you know, leaving your catching duties and becoming a pitcher. But what started to go through your mind after those scouts had that conversation with you?
Well, I mean, I feel like any time any kid, you see a business card with the major league logo on it, obviously your attention's grabbed and you're excited and you're like, holy cow, man, I might be able to pitch in the major leagues or play in the big leagues. And so that definitely got me thinking and pursuing some mound stuff. And my dad still ticked off me to this day because he still wanted me to catch at Oregon State and you know, because that was where I was. That was what I was comfortable with. That was my bread and butter. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to figure out how to pitch. But obviously, it worked out. You know, played for 10 years in the minor leagues and played in Venezuela in some winter leagues, a couple major league spring trainings, and then just kept playing the game and coaching the game. So, but I do regret not throwing on the shin guards for Coach Casey.
Yeah, Pat Casey's absolutely one of the best, as you know. He was awesome. I would imagine, and again, I played baseball as a youngster, but I would imagine that, you know, just like being a quarterback in the NFL, isn't pitching similar from the standpoint that when you step up on that mound and you get the call and it's your day, Rich, that you have control of the game, right? And you can impact the game in so many different ways in that position, unlike any other.
It's the most powerful thing for me, especially, you know, I love pitching on the road. And when I was pitching those winter leagues down in Venezuela, you know, you get 25, 30,000 fans just screaming and chanting and stuff. I had no idea what they're saying, but I knew if I executed this pitch, there was going to be 25,000 people that were ticked off and quiet. And so being able to execute a pitch and just shutting fans up was like the biggest rush ever. But you're right. I mean, there's nothing like the day of a start, and you're going in, your whole day is just kind of early in my career. I think it got the better of me because I didn't know how to handle all those emotions and, you know, prepare to go out and dominate. And then so the more I did it, the easier it got, the more I looked forward to it. I remember early in my career, I was like, why did I want to become a pitcher? This is, you know, I'm going to go pitch in front of 5,000 people tonight. And I'm like, you know, but eventually by the end, man, I miss it a lot. So I love it.
No, that's great. And I would imagine, you know, I don't know if you had any regrets about your decision or not, and that's not really the point, but I would guess that with the student athletes you work with now, because of your experiences, right, like they can come to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about this, or what if I were to change to this, and you could help them walk through that process, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially in the recruiting process. I encourage kids, like, play. You're not a PO yet, man. You're a sophomore. Like, play every position you can. You never know what's going to happen. And so this recruiting process, when we talk to kids, we like kids that are athletes and play multiple positions, and the game will kind of dictate where you end up. But that experience was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, was that late in my career, figure out how to pitch, because I didn't get the little league innings where you're out there and you're just throwing the ball over the plate, right? If to me it was like, get it over the plate or you're finding a new job. And so but at the same time, I had to learn on the fly, and at the one of the highest levels in the world, and so it was fun.
We're talking with Oregon State pitching coach Rich Dorman here on the Rip City Drive. You know, I've talked with a lot of athletes, Rich, over the years, and they always talk about how they can't find anything to replicate the competitive nature of playing a sport. And so I'm wondering, as a coach now, you know, recruiting, no matter what sport it is very competitive, because you're going up against all these different schools on the West Coast and across the country. And I'm wondering, how much do your competitive juices get going when you're in a fight for a kid with multiple schools involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, what I've learned so far coaching in college is I think you just tell the kid what your program's going to provide for him. You tell him what you're going to do for him. And if they end up coming, they come. And if they don't, they don't. I feel like it's build relationships, be completely honest and upfront, and the right ones are going to come play for your program. And they're the ones that are going to want to run through that wall for you. And they believe in what you're doing. And so, again, never badmouth other programs. Here's what we can do for you at Oregon State, the experience you're going to get and what we're about. And if those things line up, you're going to be a Beav, you're going to be part of this family, and we're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to be a lot of growth. We're going to challenge you to become better than you ever thought you were going to become. So, definitely recruiting is competitive. But I truly believe that the right players are going to end up in your program.
That's awesome. You know, you guys are coming off a successful season, 37-24. You advanced to the regional final. How do you feel about your staff as you get ready for a new season with guys like Cooper, Yerpe, and Jake Fennings and Will Frisch returning?
I mean, getting Fennings back, the kid could have signed and went pro and took, you know, $125,000 and went done the minor leagues, but he's like, dude, I want to come back, man. I love pitching for you and Mitch, and I want to win. And he's like, my 3 years here, it's time for us to win. I think his freshman year, the regional, I think they went 0-2, and then the COVID year, and then last year we went 3-2 in a regional and got bounced. But he wants to do it. And so getting a guy like Fennings back with the experience that he has and just his progression and just a super kid, obviously, like you mentioned, Jerpy and Frisch. Jerp could be the best left-hander on the West Coast for sure. I mean, and then Will's, I mean, just a bull throwing mid-90s and engineering degree, and he's the smartest kid. You know, he's super low maintenance, and the kid just is a pro already. So I'm excited about those guys. And then obviously getting Mitchell Verberg back, another guy who he wanted to play independent ball, and he got a chance, and he's like, what should I do? You know, I'm like, Herb, you got your whole life to play independent ball, but you got one more shot at going to win a national championship. And so he's back, and he's excited too. So there's multiple guys like that. But, yeah, I'm excited about this staff.
That's great, man.
And this team. Yeah,
no, we're excited about it too. You know, Rich, you've coached in the pros and college, and I was curious, is it easier to develop pitchers in college because you typically get more time with them, or maybe in the pros because you're playing more games and getting more feedback?
Golly, that's a tough question, but I would say college for a couple reasons. One, we start that relationship, which you refer to the recruiting process. We start talking to kids, you know, as sophomores in high school, and then you continue to build relationships and watch them in the summer, junior year relationship, and then they finally get on campus, and then you can start to build and mold these guys, and you see them start turning from a young man into a man, and then so you have more time with the guys, more years. Now in professional baseball, they come in a little more polished. If you're lucky, you'll get them for 2 to 3 seasons, maybe. Otherwise, they're skipping levels. And again, like you said, there's 142 games.
Yeah.
And so that's a long season, and then there's a lot of growth that happens within that summer months. But I like college. I love college. I think it's so much more impactful what you can do with kids these days and just set them up for life and beyond baseball and just give them their best. You give them your best so they can make the best run at what they want to go do. So
that's great.
College for sure.
No, that's cool. I got one more question for you. I've heard you say before that a huge part of development is teaching guys how to win. Well, why is that? And how exactly do you teach that?
I think winning, it is a skill. I think making guys understand the value of you compete every day. Every day you wake up, you're competing against yourself, whether it's, you know, pushing that snooze button or not making your bed. And just teaching guys how to, you know, Coach Case says all the time, you brush your teeth like a champion. I mean, and you got to really instill that consistency of winning in their mind, and then eventually over time they just it becomes who they are. And I feel like sometimes, you know, guys are so worried about themselves and not, you know, I guess not really focused on winning or losing, and it's just, you know, what everyone else thinks about them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's about getting the job done. And so I think developing pitchers, and I think it's creating that identity within your pitching staff, and then also individualized. And then just understanding how to get the job done and what it takes. And then within a game, making adjustments to make the pitch to get it done. And it's holding them to that level during practice. You know, when we're just throwing a flat ground or a bullpen, it's not, hey, I'm throwing pitches here at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. No, man, it's 9 o'clock in the eighth inning against UCLA right now. We need 2 sliders down the bottom of the zone, and just creating that in their mind when they're throwing these pitches in practice. So then all of a sudden they've done it over and over and over, and they're ready to make that pitch, and they know what it's like. And so, and just constantly keeping them together, right? There's no one individual better than anybody else here. We all wear the same jersey. Like, we don't win without him, you know, so you're no better than him. Let's stay together and lift each other up and be truth tellers to each other. I feel like that's the other piece too, you know, and sometimes peers try to tell each other what they want to hear versus giving guys the hard truth. And that's one of our pillars here, is about family and And I feel like you're going to be truth teller and be honest with your teammates. So that's just going to help guys become better and win.
That's terrific. We're talking with Oregon State pitching coach Rich Dorman here on the Rip City Drive. He's going to be speaking this weekend at the Northwest Baseball Coaches Association, which is going to be held at the Sheraton by the airport. You can check out the website, nwbca.com, for more information. Hey, Coach, really enjoyed that conversation, and baseball season's right around the corner. We look forward to watching you guys ball.
Thanks, Chad. I mean, this spring's coming, man. We had 3 days of sun, and we've been out in the field getting after it, and our guys are excited. So we look forward to seeing everyone out at Goss this spring.
No, it's going to be great, Coach. Good luck, and thanks for the time, man. Thanks. Great work.
Thanks, Chad. All right, take care.
All right, there you go. Coach Dorman here on the Rip City Drive. All right, we'll keep things rolling. Game day is coming up at 4:30, and we'll talk with the Godfather at 5 o'clock, 503-248-0620. Big thanks to Coach Dorman for joining the show. And you can hit me up on Twitter, @ Chad in Rip City.